this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona, this is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Throughout history, the spirit of patriotism has prevailed. The battles may have changed, but the values remain the same. Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. Choose a wireless carrier that shares your values. Choose Patriot Mobile.
Okay, welcome. Friday, 22 March, year of our Lord, 2024. A pretty rough day for patriots, but people are punching back. A great unmasking went on today about who the traitors are and who are the patriots, and the traitors are the people that are voting for this fiscal insanity and, of course, the invasion of the southern border. Glenn Story joins us now. Glenn, why you guys on your political action side have done so much, particularly down the state of Texas, and people have to understand it's not easy. The patriot movement, the sovereignty movement, doesn't have a lot of cash because it's working class people. They can barely get by, and middle class people can barely get by today. It's not a lot of extra money out to fund political campaigns and political movements like the Lords of Easy Money on Wall Street, the big corporatists, the freaks in degenerates in Silicon Valley. So you got to fight, but you showed down in Texas how you do fight. I mean, it was amazing what you and General Paxton at the state legislature level in these congressional races was incredible about throwing these bums out and putting real MAGA patriots in there. Tell me about the new ad campaign. Why this new ad campaign?
Well, you know, you think about it. Yeah, my dad was a World War II vet, served in the Army, blowing up bridges, and then came back, and all his friends were either deceased or still overseas, so he re-enlisted in the Navy and became a chief petty officer. And it's those values that I believe in more than anything, because God has just driven us in a way that I cannot, you know, I want to express. So that video is something that we want to serve and show others. That's our core beliefs.
So tell us, how does that translate? I want people to understand how tough these fights are, like what happened in Texas. You guys, on your political action side, got involved with and started helping people that wanted to say from the time of this impeachment of Paxton, and thank God we got Paxton, or there'd be nothing going on in the southern border with the state of Texas. Tell us, I just want people to know the kind of tough work that needs to be done because it's not about money. We're never going to have money on our side. I want to talk to people about that kind of grassroots effort and that tough work that you guys do.
Well, you know what? I just want to say this. Patriot Mobile Action is a separate entity from Patriot Mobile, very separate ownership, et cetera. However, you know, it's all about the grassroots. When you talk with others about, you know, what you stand for, I mean, I'm out here in Phoenix in an organization, International Order of Teddy Roosevelt. The grassroots is so strong, no matter where you go. I was wearing a shirt this morning. I was on a light run, and it said faith over fear. And I had more comments about that shirt, and it was amazing because I feel there is a groundswell and it's unstoppable, you know, and it's him. I know that God is moving in our country, just like when you came down and there were 1,000 people that came into this function. And Steve, you see it every day. You hear it. Yes, the news tells us one thing, but I know, and we know very differently, that he is moving in our country in a way that I think we haven't seen since World War II.
Talk to me about that and setting up Patriot Mobile. We talk about this alternative economy or this parallel economy and setting up a Patriot Mobile. We talk about companies like yours that have the values of our audience. What do you mean by that? What do you mean that your values are the audience's values, and that you don't have values like you see in other companies, these multinational corporations, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, that hate traditional values and kind of hate the traditional structure of American society and culture.
Yeah, that's really easy. We sum it up in three words: God, country, and family. If you believe in God, if you believe in your country, you believe in your family, look, we support the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, right to life, military and first responders. Just go to the First Amendment. The freedom of religion. I don't care if you're Muslim, Christian, Jewish. We want you to be able to worship your God. I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that is my belief, and that's what pushes me every day. But I want to be able to worship my God in a building at privately out in the open, and I think it's those values that most everyone has. I was on a call the other day. There's a stir in folks, and they're feeling it, and it's a calling to do what's right, and we know what's going on down at the borders is not right.
Glenn, how can people go and find out more about the service? How can they get the spot? I'd love the new spot, by the way. How can they get the spot? How can they find out about the service? How can they find out everything about the values of Patriot Mobile? Where do they go?
I mean, look at patriotmobile.com. Start there. Read what we're doing. The organizations that we support, whether it's Turning Point USA and Charlie Kirk, Concerned Women for America, you name it, Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America. Those are folks that are ground forces that are saving our country one step at a time. So go to patriotmobile.com/Bannon and try Patriot Mobile 30 days for free, or 30-day guarantee. If you don't like it, we're not going to charge you a penny, but I guarantee you we do it better. I'll never knock the networks. I'm just going to say we do it better because we're 100% U.S.-based, where our values align with your listenership. It's amazing. It really is.
Before you go, what is the International Order of Teddy Roosevelt? I know you travel all the time for business. You're always taking the flag out for Patriot Mobile. We see it at all the big conferences. What is the International Order of Teddy Roosevelt?
Well, you know what? It's about hunting and conservation. The things that my dad taught me to do, whether it was deer hunting, pheasant hunting, quail hunting, it's about the conservation and allowing our siblings and their siblings to be able to go out and do the same thing. There's in Montana today, now I'm not very well versed in it, there's a piece of legislation coming down the pipe that says, if you can't fish and you can't hunt, could you imagine what happens out west sweeps east? If I can't take my child hunting, come on, that's ridiculous.
Particularly in Montana, place like Montana, man, that's a fishing and hunting paradise. This is these radicals, even in Montana, they're coming 24/7. Glenn Story, one more time before you punch, where do people go?
Yeah, patriotmobile.com/Bannon or War Room. Come to us. Give us a try. Thank you, Steve. And again, thank you for coming to Texas. And I hope you're going to come down before the runoff happens here in a month and a half.
Not only that, we're going to start getting some of these voices up starting next week. Some of these voices from Texas that are running. This runoff in May, I think it's 24 May,
is one of the most important
elections of this year. Because this is where the rubber meets the road. Glenn Story, thank you so much, brother. Thank you for all the help.
Yeah, thank you. Have a blessed day, brother. Bye-bye.
One of the great fighters out there. Ben Harnwell joins me now. Ben, we got a lot of news to go through, but I got to pull the camera back for a second because I want the audience to understand something. They're trying to – this is why I am so proud. Dr. Peter Navarro is currently in prison. Navarro is a warrior of all warriors. He would have been on the show today because of this debacle that happened in the House, talking about the numbers, talking about the math. But people, I don't think, understand the depth. They came after Ben Harnwell in the exact same. They're coming after everybody eventually. They're announcing today they're going to start seizing assets of Trump. We talked about it the last hour. They're going to start seizing assets of Trump. Hopefully we're going to get Garrett Ziegler up here in a moment. I'm going to compare and contrast Biden, where you've got the CIA and the deep state protecting them, and now we have actual public records about that, versus Trump, where the Attorney General of New York is going to start the process of seizing assets. And Fannie Willis, instead of being thrown off the case, she's announcing that she's definitely going to bring this bogus crime in Georgia to trial. But they're either trying to bankrupt us or they're trying to imprison us or sometimes both. And Ben, your historic stand in Europe, it's rattled. It's rattled left-wing media. It's rattled the political parties. Once again, you're a marked man, but you stood your ground. We stood it with you. You said, look, we are trying to build an academy to essentially be, give an assist to save the Judeo-Christian West, because what's happening in Europe is exactly what's happening here. In fact, if we can get that video for what happened yesterday in El Paso, we played it, Ben, yesterday in the evening show, the comparison of what was happening in Greece 10 years ago, I think 2005, 2006, to what's happening in the United States today. This is Camp of the Saints, right? Look at that right there. It's just breathtaking what was allowed to happen. And that went, they went all the way through the second barrier and were kind of let in by the National Guard, and then they're being processed here into the United States. But you stood your ground, Ben, and what these guys hate most about it, they think that the Academy and doing this show with you as our international head in Rome, they say it's infecting Europe with Trumpism. Do they not, sir?
They do, Stephen. This is one pandemic that is for real, and the infection is going to spread and take down the whole body politic. Steve, you know, it just goes to show you, however, here in Italy, that they were split right from the get-go on this, on their strategy on closing us down in the Trisilti Abbey, because they couldn't quite decide whether it was most outrageous that that we wanted to underpin the Judeo-Christian basis of Western civilization, which they thought was basically some kind of far-right plot. So here we are wanting to rebuild the Judeo-Christian basis, and at the same hand, they were tarring us and calling us anti-Semites. You know, it's a bit weird that you can be at one at the same time both anti-Semitic and also sort of trying to strongly underline the Judeo-Christian basis of our civilization. And that just sort of just shows you the incoherence generally of the left on its strategy to us. I'll point out, because you did mention Dr. Novara, an astonishing turn of events, because Italy has never really particularly enjoyed internationally, not even here domestically, I have to say, a very high reputation for its judicial process. But it is funny, isn't it, how Italy, probably one of the lower countries in terms of esteem for its judicial process, in fact, has on this occasion produced a more clearly just outcome than America. You know, that's the tragedy of where we are, Steve. You know, as you say, they are coming for everyone, and they'll be doing this, folks. You know, watch out. They will be doing this wherever they can, and they will use whatever means they can. You know, here, yours truly, I had to go through three different trials in three different courts over the last 4 years. We just won the last one in the criminal court 2 weeks ago. But this is the point, Steve. This is where America is so fallen under our corrupt sociopathic overlords that its judicial process is now lower than Italy's. That's a really tragic state of affairs, no?
That's a totally tragic statement of affairs. Here's what I want to do. I want you to hold, because one of the reasons they did hate us is that the Academy, which we're rolling out, underpins the precepts of the Judeo-Christian West, of which we are not just very proud of, but say, hey, this is our civilization. It's been the greatest civilization known to man. It's accomplished more. It's done more in human achievement, human prosperity, human freedom, with all its faults, and its faults are legion. But it's a human institution, so certainly it's going to have faults. But what it's accomplished is beyond question, and it is our civilization, our culture. I want to bring in Joe Allen, because, Joe, this is the intersection of this. We're defenders of the Judeo-Christian West. One of the bombardments of all this is the specter of transhumanism. And people think that we're going past, you know, if the Judeo-Christian West is anchored in man is made in the image and likeness of God and endowed with the Holy Spirit, the whole transhumanist movement runs absolutely counter to that. Even with all the benefits that it has from certain aspects of it, it is 100% counter to that. We've hit a couple important dates the last couple of days. I know some people passed away, the founders of this. I want to talk about that and about how this movement at its heart is anti-human and anti-Judeo-Christian West?
You know, the classic phrase, Satan is the ape of God, I think is really pertinent here, because what you see in transhumanism is a materialistic sort of realization of Christian aspirations, some of the more mundane aspirations such as human connection, so on and so forth. The internet will connect all people and dissolve racial and national boundaries. But some of the more, intense metaphysical claims of Christianity, everything from the survival of the soul into an afterlife, miracles here on earth, and of course, just the very existence of God. What you see in transhumanism is a materialistic inversion of all of those things, so that when they discuss the creation of artificial general intelligence that's superior to human beings, the vast majority of them who do not believe that such a being exists already see this as kind of realization of dreams that they think were only just dreams and now will actually come to fruition in the technology. Elon Musk's Neuralink, Mark Andreessen made a joke yesterday that, when Elon Musk is discussing the forthcoming blind sight program at Neuralink so that the blind will see. And Mark Andreessen, of course, is, just flippantly jokes, didn't someone else heal the blind or allow the blind to see? Of course, in some sense mocking the tradition of Jesus healing the blind. I don't say that to outrage the audience either, by the way. This is just simply the kind of milieu that we're talking about. These are people who, in general, see religion as a whole, Christianity specifically, as something that was a useful evolutionary step from the ape to technological man. And they seek to use technology to grasp all of those evolutionary advantages and to make real in their minds what never existed, to create God, to bring miracles to humanity, and in some sense to allow human beings to be immortal, to give human beings a soul.
No, but it's that search for immortality that drove a lot of this. Talk to me about the two individuals. I know one of the I think the first person to actually name it, transhumanism and also the singularity just passed away. And I think somebody just walk me through these events that have happened over the last 48 hours.
Sure. And, there's a great little short recording of Werner Vinge. The team should have it. Werner Vinge was a sci-fi writer, a mathematician, a professional mathematician, and eventually a sci-fi writer. Many of our listeners actually tell me that they really enjoyed his science fiction work, but he became famous really among technologists, futurists, and of course transhumanists because he coined the term technological singularity. The way that he saw it is that as human beings rocket towards a future in which technologies are far too complicated and unwieldy for us to understand, that it forms a sort of black hole where you cannot see beyond the event horizon. He coined this in 1982. It really became popular in 1993. Most of our listeners know the singularity through Ray Kurzweil. That's most of the world knows of the singularity through Ray Kurzweil. But Werner Vinge had a very different sort of a view of what this singularity would be. For Kurzweil, I think he saw it much more in a kind of clear step-by-step fashion, kind of a merging of humans with machines and the creation of superhuman artificial intelligence. All of those things went into Werner Vinge's vision as well, but he was much more open-minded, I think. He saw at least four different paths to that technological singularity, the first being the creation of superhuman artificial intelligence, or he thought maybe human beings would use technology to improve their own intelligence so that there would be a kind of singularity you couldn't imagine what it would be like beyond. Or you would have a kind of social singularity where the internet connected so many different minds that created a kind of human hive mind. Elon Musk talks like this a lot. And that would be the singularity. And the last, which is kind of the creepiest, at the time, no one talked about the Internet of Things, but that's basically what he meant, is that as computation, as you've got microchips in every single device possible, every object possible on Earth, that he called it the kind of Gaia singularity, that basically as the Internet of Things and the Internet of Bodies and the Internet of Everything came online, it would take on a life of its own. It would be kind of like animism, to go back to the religious concept, that the whole world would be alive due to computation. But his impact is really, really important. And just one other aspect about his personality, I think, that's also important. He himself was very low tech. He wasn't sitting around, you know, injecting himself with nanobots with a virtual reality helmet on, communing with artificial intelligence. He barely even, you know, used email. He wouldn't use Skype. He used a landline. And I think that that's kind of indicative of a lot of the paradox of these people. Like, you know, many of them, for instance, don't allow their children to use all the devices that they say are going to allow human beings to evolve to this next level. Vinja fell within that framework too. So it's poetic.
Yeah, hang on one second. Hang on one second. Slow down. Let's go ahead and play the clip and we'll bring Joe back.
Perhaps it is best to start the meat of our discussion here with the Werner Vinge definition of what the technological singularity stands for. You're the person who coined the term, and there's so many variations of it.
What I have in mind is the notion that in the relatively near future, humankind will, using technology, either create or become creatures of superhuman intelligence. And there's various good reasons why singularity is a good metaphor in that circumstance. It is a type of change, a technological change, that is qualitatively different from the technological changes that we have achieved in the past. Mm-hmm. And it's different in the following sense. If you tried to explain to a goldfish what was going on in our human world here today, you would not be able to do that. That is the difference in terms of talking about and explaining things post-singularity compared to now. It's not merely a matter of prediction. It's a matter of the fundamental thing about observing the world has changed. And so in that sense, thinking of the term singularity as a metaphor, it's actually a kind of interesting metaphor by comparison with the singularity in physics that we get, you know, near it with black holes, mm-hmm. in which not very much information can be extracted about what's going on inside a black hole.
Hello, world. How's it going out there? My name is Bliss, and I'm an engineer at Neuralink. And I'd like to introduce you to the first ever user of the Neuralink device. And I think you're my only telekinetic friend that I have.
Yeah, my name's Nolan Arbaugh. I'm 29 years old. About 8 years ago, I was in kind of a freak diving accident and dislocated my C4, C5. So I'm a complete quadriplegic. I love playing chess, and so this is one of the things that y'all have enabled me to do, something that I wasn't able to really do much the last few years. But now it's all being done with my brain. If y'all can see the cursor moving around the screen, that's all me, y'all.
Werner Vinge's right. It's upon us, is it not, Joe Allen?
I'm always very skeptical of the predictions of the singularity, when it will arrive, if it will arrive. Definitely, without any doubt in my mind, some approximation of what he was talking about is occurring. I kind of envision a very different path from his four paths or even Ray Kurzweil's. I see something much more predatory in which, powerful corporations coupled with governments create and deploy technologies that ultimately dehumanize people, that ultimately bring us, the masses, under control. But without a doubt, these technologies are rocketing forward. longtime War Room viewers will know that that Neuralink is not exactly a new technology. I mean, we've covered BlackRock Neurotech, Synchron, the various companies in China and across Europe that are working in academic labs working on this. So they're ahead of Neuralink, but Neuralink is really, really important for two reasons. One, Neuralink is much more publicized than any of the others. People are really becoming aware that this technology is here. And of course, Elon Musk is promising that it will be a commercial device. Hundreds of millions or billions of people, he says, getting a Neuralink or some kind of interface like that would be good for humanity. The other reason, of course, Steve, is that many on the center right or dissident right are completely open to the possibility that a Red Caesar or a freedom fighter like Elon Musk would be in favor of Team Humanity while simultaneously envisioning a new kind of humanity that is perpetually linked to some kind of AI version of themselves. So, you know, that on the public face, that is extremely important. And if I could just read, since we got very little time, read a quick quote from Bernard Benji.
Hang on. We're gonna take a short commercial break because I've got you. I want to finish with you. Ben Harnwell is going to talk about maybe an antidote to this Christian nationalism, how it all evolves. Maybe it's the answer, and it may be coming out of our abbey in Italy. Also, I've got the great Garrett Ziegler's here with some shocking news on the Central. Would the news on the Central Intelligence Agency shock you? Maybe. We're going to find out. Short commercial break. Birch Gold, you think we're living in turbulent times? Make sure you go to the what's been the hedge for mankind for 8,000 years of recorded history. That would be gold and precious metals. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Check it out today. Talk to Philip, Patrick, and the team. Do it this weekend. Short commercial break. Back to the team in a moment. I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse. Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest, from the online evaluation to license, pharmacy delivery, and ongoing care. Visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
So with Werner, something else happened this week. What was it, Joe Allen?
Quite a bit, actually. But I really think that the death of Werner Vinge represents, in some ways, a kind of poetic end of one era and a beginning of another. You know, as we talked about yesterday, Vinge died within a year of Ted Kaczynski. And so something about that to me is quite poetic. Kaczynski allegedly killing himself in prison, and the man who really formulated the concept of the technological singularity passing over to the other side at the same time. I will not elaborate further on the seeming mystical significance of that. But if I could, I would like to just read a quote from his 1993 lecture that really brought this to the public consciousness. Vinge was invited by NASA to give a lecture, which he called The Coming Technological Singularity. And he opened with a prediction. This is in 1993, that within 30 years, we will have the technological ability to create superhuman intelligence. Shortly thereafter, the human era will be ended. And of course, 30 years from that moment was last year, with the explosion of artificial intelligence onto public consciousness and the rising sense of dread that, in fact, the human era is ending. And if you think back to what we heard from Vinge in the interview from 2011 in that recording, the way he envisioned the singularity was one is very much a psychological thing. It would be as difficult to explain to a human today what the near future in the next 20, 30 years will be as it would be to explain to a snail what it's like in the human world. And, you know, however one perceives that, however intense that is, without a doubt, humanity is completely blind to the future coming at us. And to me, again, I see this much more as a predatory movement of elites in the techno capital realm and the governmental realm, creating and using these technologies to very much make us the snails to the civilization that they are now creating.
If you read the Unabomber's manifesto, as crazy as people said he was, he also was a great prophet in this area in predicting this. I mean, you got to read the manifesto. He was obviously 100%. A deeply disturbed individual, but had some very prophetic things to say. Joe, where do people go and get your writings, particularly the book? The book is, if you want a primer to to get started and to understand this in all its elements, Dark Aeon, to me, is the best starting place. Where do people get your content?
Yeah, Steve, the book actually opens with that quote from Werner Vinge. You can find it anywhere books are sold, bookshop.org or canonic.xyz. Of course, anywhere books are sold, Amazon, so on and so forth. And then check my social media. I encourage you to look at the full video of the Neuralink patient followed by Elon Musk's statements on where he sees all of this going at JOEBOTXYZ, Gitter or Twitter, and of course, warroom.org under the transhumanism tab.
Joe Allen, thank you so much. Ben Harnwell, this is why we were doing Trisulti like St. Benedict was trying to get those monasteries back in the beginning of the Dark Ages to be a light. We don't believe we're going to fight the end of the human era, are we not, sir? And of course, the powers that be in Europe think that we're building a center for Christian nationalism. Your thoughts,
Steve? I have to pick up from what Joanne was saying because it segues nicely into the point I'm going to make now. I think we need a better metaphor from saying that Joe said that Vernon Vinge passed over to the other side. I think we need a better metaphor for that. I'd like to suggest that he uploaded to the cloud and wiped his hard drive. Now, Joe started off his talk talking about this, basically the ape of Christ and the sort of the counterfeit Christianity that is inherent in transhumanism. And that isn't sort of if you call that as basically an antichrist philosophy, it's not taking place in a vacuum. John Paul II always pointed out that the heart of culture was cult. And there's a survey that came out in the Pew Research Center, and I think it sort of underlines a couple of points that Joe was making, and it sort of course dovetails into what we're going to be doing at Trisulti. So this survey basically recorded that 80% of U.S. adults say that religion's role in American life is shrinking, and that is the highest percentage it's ever been. Interestingly, Steve, that figure sort of falls down the middle. Broadly half the population are fine with that, but 49% of U.S. adults aren't happy with that. They say that that religion's influence is declining, and that's a bad thing. I will just highlight that 8% say that they think religion's influence is growing, and that's a good thing. And I'd just like to suggest before moving on, they're probably not Christians who are saying that, and they probably right from their perspective to think that their particular religious outlook is growing in public life, and from their perspective, that would only be a good thing. That's, I think, the backdrop to some of what Joe was saying, and it really is, like your previous guest, I also believe in Jesus Christ, and yeah, anyone who does believe in Jesus Christ and the whole of the prophetic thread of the New Testament culminating in the book of Revelation can only look at what's happening right now with their mouths open and aghast. That is precisely why we're going to be launching a number of projects at Trisulti in Italy once we get that monastery back. Without going into too much details at this stage, there is this phenomenon about Christian nationalism. And coming back to the Pew research survey, they've noted the fact, staying with the United States, staying with Americans, they've noted the fact that although many Americans think that the U.S. shouldn't officially be declared a Christian country, that's because I think of the broad tradition of separation of church from state in America, they do think that the federal government should promote Christian moral values. And half of the U.S. population think that that the Bible should have some influence on U.S. laws, with 28%, that's over a quarter, saying that if the Bible conflicts with the will of the people, the Bible should have more sway. And that, I think, is the first sort of real survey I've seen digging down into what Christian nationalists believe. And once you look into it, Steve, I think it's pretty tame fare. I don't understand why the mainstream media are absolutely terrified of this concept of Christian nationalism when it is simply a nationalist. I do understand. Of course I understand why it goes on fire, of course. But, you know, from our perspective, it's just a combining of nationalism and Christianity, and there's nothing particularly alarming in that from where we're sitting.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing they fear with the combination of Christianity and nationalism at all. Nothing for them to fear. Man, we got a bolt. On that note, you can't get any better. Tell us, where can people go and get all your content, sir?
Thanks so much, Steve. So on Getter, my social media platform of choice, tab in my surname, Harnwell, at Harnwell, and there you'll have some, that's why I update that 24/7, and I've got some great posts there at the top of my feed awaiting you right now. Thanks, Steve. Thanks so much. God bless.
Harnwell and Dr. Navarro, they cut from the same cloth, both tough people that prison did not put the fear into them. They stood their ground, stood for the principles. Ben Harnwell, honored to have you on here, sir. Honored to have you head of our international bureau out of Rome. Thanks.
Thanks. Good place.
Birch Gold, by the way, you don't think it's turbulent? We're talking about the active rolling of the end of the human era. That's what we've covered on transhumanism over the last 3 or 4 years. And as we've said, it's rolling and it's rolling hard. In this time of turbulence, how do you get your sea legs, particularly financially? We'll talk to the guys at Birch Gold, birchgold.com/Bannon. Philip, Patrick, and the team, I'm going to go into a lot more detail about where we actually stand with global capital markets macro after this debacle today in the House, where traitorous Republicans led by a traitorous Speaker of the House turned on the MAGA movement, because that's what happened, turned on the MAGA movement. More on that, but make sure you go do your homework, Into the Dollar Empire at birchgold.com/Bannon. Okay, Garrett Ziegler, we talked to Mike Benz about this. Garrett Ziegler, though, Garrett, why do they fear you? We love having fearless people on here. Why do they hate on you, and why do they fear you, and why are they trying to put you in bankruptcy and trying to put you in jail? Because this story you're about to tell us about, as we talked to Mike Benz about, is so explosive. But if it hadn't been for you, we would have never found out about this. What's going on?
Well, to answer your direct question, I think it's nothing special other than I'm like a dog on a bone. I simply don't give up. And you mentioned Peter right before my segment. Very, very proud to have worked for Peter. I think of him every day. It's absolutely sickening what they're doing. Hopefully he's in the better part of that FCI hellhole. But, you know, his birthday is July 15th, so I'm hoping he gets out before his birthday. I just wanted to mention that. But I think that like Peter, I just simply don't give up. And we've stayed on this Morris story, Steve, for almost 2 years. We focused on him, not exclusively, but primarily. Of all of the people, because why? Because what Kevin Morris is doing now affects the country. It's not just the laptop, the material of which, as you know, spans from 2008 to 2019. But Kevin Morris is invested right now in BHR. Remember, we figured out first in the world, we got a whistleblower with NBHR to give us corporate documents in 2023 that shows that Kevin Morris controls Skinny Atlas LLC. So it's not just that two DOJ guys went to the CIA and were told, hey, this is a special person, okay? He is not. Remember what Joe said on the hot mic? Nobody F's with a Biden. Well, apparently he extended that to Kevin Morris, because over there at Langley, they were saying nobody F's with Kevin Morris, the South Park lawyer. But he's more than that, because he is holding the CCP shares that Hunter offloaded. So the New York Times comes out with a piece in November of 2021 about the cobalt mine in the Congo. Just before that piece hits, Hunter offloads those shares to Kevin Morris. So you got the CIA, the Chi-Com shares. Remember, they can't part with this. This is the golden goose. A liberal professor at the University of Chicago, Stephen Kaplan, he appraised these shares at anywhere from $6 to $20 million. So 10% of BHR is anywhere from $6 to $20 million. People have been trying to figure out for more than a year now, and on the Hill, what is Kevin Morris getting for this? He's certainly not an honorable person. He's not doing this for generosity. I mean, he's a total scumbag. Look at the guy. He is doing this for leverage over Hunter and to protect them. So he gives Hunter the liquid cash now because Hunter can't cash out of BHR. And Morris holds this as his goose egg, because even if Hunter doesn't give him a dime back, Morris can sell the BHR shares and be even.
Why did the DOJ go to CIA? What was the CIA going to do? Why did they have to take the action and say, back off this guy? What, in your mind, what was the CIA prepared to do?
Yeah, so the setting is August of 2021. There's the limited hangout investigation being run by David Weiss, still the ASUA of Delaware. And I think that the CIA got word that they were sniffing around Morris from somebody who was doing the investigation, because at that time the feds realized, hey, Hunter paid back some of these back taxes. And these payments aren't coming from the Hunter Biden Wells Fargo checking account. They're coming from the Morris Morgerman Trust. And so they go into their system and realize this is the guy footing the bill for the back taxes. And of course, he now calls these loans. It's totally ridiculous. He papered those over a year later, and Hunter doesn't have to pay back till his daddy gets done with his first term. So this is them, the CIA, hearing through the federal grapevine that they're starting to sniff around Morris, and the two DOJ folks who we don't know. And part of the reason why I'm grateful you have me on today is to say that we are trying to get a hold of this whistleblower to let them know that we have experience in this. Remember, we were the ones who posted those SARs, which have given Abby Lowell an ulcer. He's written to the Treasury OIG asking that I be criminally prosecuted. So we had a guy at JP Morgan come to us with SARs. I'm extending the invitation to whoever this whistleblower is to contact Marco Polo, contact me, because we know more background about Kevin Morris. If you're concerned that you were given a offer you couldn't refuse in August of 21 at Langley, we have all the backstory on Morris. And I want all your listeners to be reminded, Morris sued us almost a year ago for $60 million. And we won one of those causes of action. And now Morris is going to the California State Appellate Court. And we have a hearing on that in a couple of months. So Morris has called, and Hunter have caused me and our group to pay over $250,000 in legal fees. It's totally disgusting. And all we've done is publish authentic data from BHR that shows, I mean, it doesn't get higher than this. What program other than War Room has talked about BHR for over 4 years? You're the tip of the spear. And now we know that this guy holds the 10% in BHR. Very few stories, in my opinion, are more important than this. This is the dude holding the Chi-Com shares for Hunter. And remember, BHR got started because he went with Daddy on Air Force One, or Air Force Two, excuse me.
On Air Force Two, part of the Xi thing. He took his son over there to make the he cultivated and then made a deal. Real quickly, because address the whistleblower again. Where is he to get you? How can he contact you? How can you guys get together?
The whistleblower went to the Oversight and Judiciary Committees. The whistleblower told them this information, and then those committees wrote a letter to Burns, the CIA director, yesterday. Go to MarcoPolo501c3.org. Our Proton email address is on there. That's how we got some of the information, like I mentioned, from JP Morgan. And we're trying to fill the void of people don't go to traditional media because they don't, besides, you know, Catherine Herridge and a couple of others, their sources get burned. And I'll go to prison before I give up a source. So we want this whistleblower to know that, number one, there are people out there that can connect the dots of why the CIA would protect this guy. Remember, this guy's wife, although they're estranged on paper, is the lead talent agency at William Morris. Your previous guest did a phenomenal job about laying out the cultural rot, the gangrene that is American culture. No two people in the last 30 years have been at the forefront of that more than Kevin Morris and Gabby Morgerman. They are the crown prince and princess of degenerate Hollywood. And Hollywood is under the thumb of the CCP now. So you not only have one of the top lawyers of Hollywood, total scumbag, total degenerate, covering for the Bidens, working in an industry that will not even criticize Xi lest they be excised. But he's also, in his other hand, holding the 10% of BHR. These aren't my facts. These are the facts. And Kevin Morris can sue me for harassment all he wants. If I have the backing of the grassroots, which we do, by the way, look at fightbiden.org. There's two websites that I want your listeners to go to. MarcoPolo501c3.org, which has all the laptop emails, all the laptop pictures. And it also has our dossier. In our dossier, we go into Kevin Morris for four whole pages. Talk about this guy. He threatened one of my friends with prosecution just for basically catfishing him and pretending to be an ally of Hunter, and said that that I'm a vicious little blank and he's coming to get you. Make sure you take a nice few outfits to jail. So that's what Kevin Morris, who holds 10% of BHR, told my friend.
Last thing, real quickly, are you working hand in glove with oversight that they know they have all the information of yours?
They do. In fact, we've been sending them questions to ask Kevin Morris during his testimony. But again, This whistleblower, to my knowledge, came to them after that testimony. So maybe his transcribed interview, which he perjured himself. He said he won all the legal cases against us. So that's perjury number one. We won. Even Judge Epstein dismissed one of his causes of action against us on the anti-slap. So Kevin Morris owes us about $45,000 in legal fees. That whistleblower probably heard of his testimony, heard of the BS that he was spewing, and came to the committees. And we just hope that we want to run this to ground. First question is, which two DOJ officials? And I hope I'm allowed again on your program, because I talked earlier, Steve, about those two directories we put together, the IRS and the FBI. Well, Guess what? We almost have the DOJ one done. We're going to have it done next week. 62 people. It's a total dope chart. Face, name, birthday, everything. And we're doing these for a couple reasons. Number one, we got to know who the heck is doing this. This should have been done for Crossfire Hurricane. And number two, if DJT gets back in, all those people have to go, every single one of them.
Yep. Okay, we're going to have you back on when you release that. You're a warrior, Garrett Ziegler. I tell you,
thank Peter
Navarro
would
be very proud. That shopper, that Garrett Ziegler, Joanna Miller, Peter Navarro knew how to pick them. He knew talent, and he knew how to develop talent. That part of the White House, these were killers, stone cold killers. Okay, Lou Dobbs is going to follow. It's going to be back tomorrow, the favorite show of the week, Saturday show. Until that time, make sure that government and non-government agencies cannot listen to your devices, get your data, do anything. Silent. The silent company needs to be your partner. These great Faraday bags and backpacks for your computer, your iPad, your iPhone, all of it. Go to slnt.com/Bannon. The promo code's Bannon. Get your discounts. Go check it out today. slnt.com, promo code Bannon. Lou Dobbs next. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We're going to go through a lot of stuff on with gold, with Birch Gold. Make sure you go get The End of the Dollar Empire. That is free. You download it free. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Tomorrow's show is going to be on fire. Lou Dobbs next.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. DoneWithDebt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer. And taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage DoneWithDebt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a DoneWithDebt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit DoneWithDebt.com. That's DoneWithDebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, WarRoomHealth.com. Go there today. If you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.